Thanks for spending time with Fusion Community Church through our podcast. These can be accessed anytime through iTunes or on our website, fusioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Our time. I get so pumped when I watch that film. The first week Andrew showed it, I just yelled out from my seat and my husband got very embarrassed. If you're just joining us this morning, we're wrapping up a sermon series entitled His Story. It's the story of God and how he pursued and redeemed humanity, how he rescued you and me. It's a story about extraordinary love. It's a story about rebellion. It's a story about forgiveness, and ultimately, it's a story about undeserved grace. It's a story that oftentimes in our finite minds is hard to comprehend and too good to be true. But before we end the story today, I want to backtrack and I want to trace where we've been. So for those of you who are joining us this morning, or for those of you who have missed some weeks, or for those of you who have been here every week but you've fallen asleep, this is for you. We began our story talking about creation and the fall of man. When God created the earth, it was a paradise of perfection. There wasn't any pain. There wasn't any sickness. There was no death. It was a beautiful world. We were surrounded by beauty everywhere. He created man and woman. He created Adam and Eve to enjoy his creation. And he clothed them with love. And he clothed them with acceptance. And his intention from the beginning was for them to have authority over his entire creation under his leadership. They lacked for nothing. He gave them everything. But one day it all changed. And they bought into a lie from the serpent, thinking they could play God. They separated themselves from his love and protection. They pushed him aside. And from that moment on, they put themselves in the middle of God's creation. And the penalty for their disobedience was death. But God extended them grace. He clothed them and he banished them from the garden. And he let them live their life out as they chose. God did not force Adam and Eve to love him. He wanted them to choose him. Just like we want someone to love us. We want someone to choose us for who we are. But the choice that Adam and Eve made broke their relationship with God. And that choice cascaded down throughout history. And all throughout the entire history of the Old Testament, we see generation after generation of people disobeying God. But he was not content to leave that relationship alone. Instead, he chose to draw humanity back to himself. Wouldn't you have thought at that point he would have just written us out of the story? When we read between the lines of the Old Testament, we see God revealing and foreshadowing an event to resolve the conflict between him and his creation. We see glimmers of hope woven through his story with stories of reconciliation and redemption, and the intimacy with God and his creation would be restored. And then enters the Redeemer. In this very cosmic but very real drama, God sends Jesus. The creator of the universe stepped into our story, and God showed us in the person of Jesus who he was. And through him, he showed us in every way that he could identify with us. Jesus came and lived a life that had to be lived. He died a death that had to be died. He had to die in our place. Jesus died a humiliating and brutal death. But he died to reconcile us with God and to give us life. It sounds like a tough way to end a story, but it's actually a beautiful beginning to the final episode. And that brings us today to the last part of the story. The final chapter where God restores his creation to all that it was supposed to be. Where everything is just torn down and it's remade. It's like God's extreme makeover, creation edition, where God has been behind the scenes all along at work totally to reclaim his creation, to make everything new, including us, Someday Jesus is going to return, and he is going to redeem everything. This life will be redeemed. This earth will be redeemed. These very bodies will be redeemed. And so our hopes and our dreams and our fears and our failings, they're going to all be redeemed as well. Thank you, Jesus. And in Revelation 21, 3 through 5, it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and God himself will be with them and be their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making all things new.'" Restoration is the conclusion of God's epic story. But the end is not here yet. So the question is, what do we do while we're waiting? What does God want us to do? He wants us to fight. He wants us to fight to believe the story. He wants us to fight to trust the story. And he wants us to fight to realize that the answers that we look to make sense of this life don't reside in us. They reside in Jesus. He wants us to fight to believe that his story is not about us. It's about him. And it's not about what we do, but it's about what Jesus has done. We do as the Apostle Paul instructed us. We fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because our lives depend on it. What awaits us beyond this life is real, and it's beautiful, but we don't have to wait to be restored. Restoration is now. Whether we realize it or not, Jesus is alive and he's active every day of our lives, restoring what's been broken. You see, from a human perspective, God has scripted us, you and me, with the toughest role in his story. And that's to kick ourselves off the throne of our lives and put him on it. It's about letting him lead our lives the way he designed it originally back in the garden. And we got a choice. But either way, God's story's not at risk. Jesus will come again. He will make all things new. He will restore the beauty of this world. What's at risk is our story. You see, in this life, we sit at many crossroads where we're given a choice, just like Adam and Eve, to trust ourselves or to trust God. We can choose to stay in our story, run our own lives, have no regard for his story, and we might have a pretty good life, might be pretty nice. But when we find out in the end that it was really about his story, it might be too late. Sometimes we get lulled into making up our own version of the story. Sometimes we think, a loving God would never have me spend my life eternally damned. But we just learned in the story that God is holy, God is just, and the consequences of sin is death. So unfortunately, there's no limbo, there's no free passes on this one. Maybe you come to a crossroad in your life where you know his story well enough to know that eternal damnation is real. You believe God sent Jesus to come to pay the punishment that you deserved. So you ask Jesus into your heart and you profess your belief in him. And maybe you go so far as to be baptized and to publicly profess your faith in him. But deep down, maybe your motive was to get to heaven and stay out of hell. You believe the story, but on a day-to-day basis, you don't trust the story. And you just keep trusting yourself. And on Judgment Day, will he say, "I never knew you"? Only God knows the conditions of a man's heart, but isn't that too big of a risk to take? You know, maybe you've been a Christian for 10, 20, 30 years, and you know that you know that you know that you believe his story and that you trust his story. And you seemingly have it all together, but honestly and truthfully, you have areas deep down in your life that you never let anyone into, let alone Jesus. You've hung on to parts of your lesser story from your past that prevent you from experiencing the freedom that Jesus died to give you now. Jesus didn't die only just to secure eternal destiny. He came to bust into our ordinary, everyday lives to work in us and through us, to help us to overcome our inadequacies and our fears and our worries and our insecurities. We don't have the ability to rid ourselves of these things, but Jesus does. When we say yes to Jesus, we say yes to letting him make us new from the inside out. And it has a lot of moments of pain, I know. But the moments of sweetness that come from knowing who is holding us up is incomparable to anything in this life. We got to fight to let him in. Jesus wants us to fight against religion and fight for having a relationship with him. See, we can go to church all our lives. We can read our Bible. We can go to groups. We can serve. And what most people think that doing what we do is what faith is all about. What we do for God, when in fact it's all about what he's done for us. The last thing that Jesus uttered when he was hanging on the cross was, "It's finished." He meant it. We have to believe it. It was at that moment that all our sins were taken away. Jesus paid the ultimate price for everything we've done against God and everything we'll continue to do. And you might be sitting there this morning thinking, "That sounds too good to be true." It is. That's why they call it the good news. In light of the suffering Jesus endured on the cross, any attempt to offer God something thinking will earn his favor is just religion. Jesus wants us to spend time with him. It's about visiting and revisiting his story over and over and over again until the message of what he's done reaches our hearts and we abandon our intellectual pursuit of trying to understand it all and to perform for him. He just wants a relationship with us, just like it was back in the garden. Jesus came to live his life in us and through us. It's not about our doing. It's about his done. Restoration is now, and Jesus came to restore the relationships we ruin. He came to clean up the destruction we create by the things that we say to each other, the ways we hurt each other, the lack of love that we show each other. He came to break us out of our selfishness and our self-centeredness, the grudges that we harbor, the unforgiveness. And the motivation to fight this fight comes from his story. Because as we visit and revisit it over and over again, we become so overwhelmed by the love that's been shown to us in his story. The forgiveness, the patience, the kindness, the generosity, how much has been done for us so undeservedly. And the implications of his story change our story. We look at the life of Jesus and we see how he fought for us. And he never gave up. And he never gave in. And he never will. No matter what we've done, no matter where we've been. The author of Hebrews resounds his motivation in what Christ had done for him when he wrote Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. "Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross." Amen? Yeah. You see, the fight that we fight is the fight to give up the control, the fight to give up our inborn tendency to think that we have our eternal destiny, or anything else for that matter, I'll figure it out in this life and well in hand. Putting God in the center of our lives means completely relying on him to accomplish the things in our life that please him. But ultimately, it's not about what we do that leads to greater freedom, but it's what we let him do in and through us. When Jesus walked this earth, he had the power of the Holy Spirit to help him, to guide him, and to resist the ongoing temptations that he faced. When he left this earth, he left this power to reside in those who would believe in him and trust him. He didn't leave us here to fight alone. The Christian life isn't about gritting our teeth and determining that we're going to be a better person in our own strength. It's about asking and receiving. In Matthew 21:22, Jesus tells us, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. So you know, when you're at one of those irritating crossroads in your life where you're just really struggling to act kind and loving to someone really difficult in your life, you have a choice. You can do nothing, and you can be mean and miserable and grouchy. We've all been there. Or you can pray in your own strength through gritted teeth. Oh my gosh, Lord, will you give me the patience to love this person right now? I don't even like them. I don't want to like them. Please, you need to change them. You got to do something about them because they are driving me absolutely ever-living crazy. Okay? And I think we've all been there too. Or we can acknowledge that we don't have what it takes to be loving and kind sometimes. We don't have to pretend. Because in and of ourselves, we can't, but he can. We don't have to muster up niceness. We can choose to ask him to do it for us and let his power flow through us. We just need a sincere heart. Lord, I don't feel loving. And I can't love this person right now. Please do the loving through me. I'm willing for you to do that. And then we wait. And we trust that he will come through. You see, when we ask Jesus into our lives, he changes us. He does the work. We do the asking. We need to fight to remember that. It's not about what we do, it's about his done. It's about what he's done and what he is able to do in and through our lives. Restoring us, making us new, getting rid of the stuff that weighs us down. We have to fight our sense of sufficiency and let him in. Maybe you need to forgive somebody right now. Maybe they've done something to you that really, really hurt you. This is one of the hardest things to do, isn't it? To just let go. You know, many times we try to do it in our own strength, and sometimes we get a glimmer, we get a clue, you know, and it's like this. It's like, Lord, could you help me forgive them? But then you see the focus of that prayer is still on ourselves and our performance, rather than saying, Jesus, I'm feeling really bitter towards this person, and I can't forgive them myself. Can you please forgive them through me? I give you permission to do that through me, Lord. Please work through me to help forgive them. Jesus lived this way in relationship to his Father when he was on earth. In John 14:10, he said, don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words I say to you are not my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Jesus knew that in and of his own strength, that he would not be able to live a sinless life. He knew that he needed the power of God's Holy Spirit working through him. And if Jesus needed to rely on his power, how much more do we? You know, it's often hard to see in our own lives most of the time how we have one foot in our story and then we have the other foot in his story. It's like we want our cake and eat it too. There are so many times in our lives when we struggle with choices and the decisions we have to make. And we want to let Jesus work through us, but it's hard. You know, and it kind of looks like this. Well, you know what, Lord? I'm really worried about my job. I don't know if I'm going to lose my job. And oh my gosh, Lord, my kid's going to be going off to college. Oh, I don't even think they know how to tie their shoe yet. Oh my gosh. Oh Lord, I think my spouse is mad at me for what I said last night. I don't know if they're ever going to forgive me. Oh, that was an awful thing that I said. You know, and in the midst of all this drama, you know, maybe we're in his story and we read like, you know, a passage from Luke 12, 20 through to 26. This is just a paraphrase. Do not worry about your life. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? So here we are. We're at one of those crossroads again. And we have a choice. We can either stay stuck in our worry and trust in ourselves to come up with a solution. We can ruminate about it. We can call all our friends, bring them in on it. We can lose sleep over it. And we can practically give ourselves an ulcer over it. Or we can decide that we're going to fight and we're going to trust what Jesus says. And we're going to trust that he will work in and through us to guide us in the next steps to resolution. You can't have your foot in both doors. You have to go back to the story and ask yourself questions. You know, like, did God take care of his people in the story? Did God just go to lengths to rescue me and pursue me? Did he do that? Did he not do that? Yes, he did. He said, if I have faith, I can trust him. Did God make a way for you and me to live beyond in eternity with him? Yes, and he had to give up his son's life to do that. Does God love me? Yeah, and you know what? Jesus came, and he couldn't love us any more or any less. So we have to go back and ask ourselves these questions. So then we have to ask ourselves, so with this issue, this worry, this dilemma that I have in my life, because God has done all this, will he not show up in these little things of our life to lean on him and to trust him? Yeah. He will. We just have to remember the story. We have to believe the story. We have to trust the story. And we have to believe in Jesus who even made the story possible. No matter how long we've been Christians, we always need the reassurance. It never grows old. It's alive and it's active. And it's working in our lives day in and day out. You know, you and me, we are in the middle of the most amazing story ever. You know, all those reality TV shows that are on right now, God created reality TV and we're in the middle of his show. Yeah. You know, we have to fight to remember how good the good news is. And we can't do it alone. You know, it's been said that the most comforting words in the English language are, me too. We always want to know that we're not alone in the fight. Telling our stories in confidence with other people puts our strengths and our weaknesses all on the same plane. We need to realize that our secrets and our sins and our fears are not unique. We need to see that we're not so different after all as other people. Sharing our stories with other people helps us to heal, and it gives us the freedom that results from confession, and it creates community with other people, and it often helps us to find new connections and echoes of grace that we didn't see before we put these things into words. This is how the body of Christ functions. Stories show us the connectedness of life. They teach us how to bridge the gap between the daily grind and the eternal glory. They help us to make sense of all the rambling events in our lives and to align our ordinary days with the greatest story ever told, the gospel. And when we pay attention to the story at hand, we're able to live it better and live it fuller and live it deeper, just as God created it. Amen? Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are mighty in our midst. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can just say, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this life, Lord. Will you just let Jesus live in and through me? Father, we just thank you so much for your Son. We thank you that we can just be real, we can just be transparent, that we can just be open with each other because we know who we're hanging on to, Lord. And it's not ourselves. It's not our self-sufficiency. Father God, it's not about what we do. It's about what you've done. And we could never thank you and praise you enough for what you have done for us, Lord. And we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your story. And we thank you to be able to just be used by you here on this earth, Lord. And we thank you for what Jesus is doing in our lives each and every day when we're just open to it, when we're just open to it, to pay attention, because you're there, Lord, in the everyday rhythms of life and the everyday nuances of life, Lord. And we thank you for caring about the small details. Thanks for wanting a relationship with us, Lord. And we're careful, Lord, to give you all the glory and the praise. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Okay. While our ushers, am I off? While our ushers come up to take the offering, we have a few announcements this morning. Talk about fighting. Life groups, community groups are going on now. They're starting this week. There are two ways that you can fight the fight of faith. One is that we have community groups. We have these men and women throughout our entire county that have opened up their homes so that they can go through and share the story. For 10 weeks, we're going to be going through something called the story. It's from creation to redemption, the arc of redemption, the story of what God has been doing in our lives. It's wonderful, it's powerful, and for a couple of months, a few of us traveled through it, and it was a wonderful experience, and I can't wait to go through it again. And the people that have opened up their homes to make this happen right in your neighborhoods are wonderful. They're great. And I know it's a little intimidating hopping into someone's home that you don't know, but you know what? None of them bit me. They're all cool. They're great. They're wonderful. It's good. So I know our lives are busy. That might be a tough way for you to join in for the next 10 weeks. So we have something else here at Fusion that we call Fight Clubs. Fight Clubs are simple. It's just when you decide that you just want to, get together with one, maybe two other people, and you want to set your own time, your own day, and you can be very, very flexible with that. So you can grab a couple of other people and just once a week go through the story together for 10 weeks and just share life together. For the people that are leading community groups, the copies of the story are actually out on the front table by guest services. For those, so if you're going to be engaging in a community group, your leaders will have the story for you so you don't have to grab one. If you decide and God places on your heart, yeah, I'd like to grab a friend. I want to get together. I'm going to get together with Heather, and we're going to beat the crap out of sin this week. Yeah, all right. If you want to start a fight club, then just go out and grab your copy of the story. God will lead you through it. It's easy to do, and because he does the work, remember? It's amazing. Okay. Also, Easter's coming. Who are you inviting? Please pray about who God might place on your heart to invite for Easter Sunday service. Also, we have an awesome series coming up soon. It's called Man Versus Wife. Yeah, man. And it's going to be exciting. Well, there's going to be boxing gloves at the front door when everybody comes in. We have posted on the website, and also it's on Facebook, all these different pictures, which are great. So if you, too, would like to be included with your spouse, we're going to be taking pictures back here in the corner so that you can be posted also on our website page. Honey, are you here? Would you like to go over and we can pose? Yeah, okay. I'm scared. Okay. Let's pray over our offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the good gifts that you've given us. We thank you that everything that we have is yours, and what you ask us is for back is just so little in return, Lord. We just thank you for all...